Today we celebrate the festival of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Now, since we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, you would think that our epistle lesson would say something about Jesus being raised from the dead. Instead, we hear St. Paul's words from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in which he tells us to swallow our pride and to celebrate the festival of Christ's death. This is what he calls the Lord's Supper. Christ, who is our Passover lamb, was sacrificed. This is what Paul teaches us to observe. Earlier in this same epistle, Paul says, "We preach a crucified Christ." And again he says, "While I was with you, I was determined to know only Jesus and him crucified." Then later in his epistle, when he again addresses the Lord's Supper, in which Jesus gives us his body and blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of our sins, Paul says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Here we are on Easter Sunday, the day of our Lord's resurrection from the dead, and we are told to celebrate the fact that our Passover lamb was sacrificed. We still dwell on Christ crucified. Why is this? This is because the resurrection of our Lord Jesus declares Jesus to be the crucified one. You see, Jesus' death was not an accident. Jesus himself says in the last chapter of Luke that it was necessary for the scriptures to be fulfilled, that the Son of Man would be handed over and crucified and then rise again on the third day. Our Lord's crucifixion was foretold by the prophets, foretold by the scriptures, and Jesus himself foretold his crucifixion and resurrection several times to his disciples. And his resurrection proves that his crucifixion accomplished what it was meant to accomplish. He is the Lamb of God who truly did take away the sin of the world. God truly was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. By this one man's obedience, righteousness and life have come to all men. As Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." And so in the resurrection, he emerges as Christ the crucified. In other words, his sacrifice for our sins does not remain some distant event in the past. His resurrection is not a call for us to move on and leave his crucifixion behind. No, when we say he is risen indeed, we are declaring that he isn't just some guy who died on the cross. We are declaring that he is the crucified one whose shed blood still sets us free from sin and condemnation. His obedience, suffering, and death still avail before God's throne, covering up all of our sins and declaring us righteous, even today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the staple and seal that this Jesus, who was crucified, is the Lord and Christ, the anointed one of God, whose shed blood and pierced body continues to give us life from heaven. What sins continue to bother you even today? What is weighing on your conscience even this morning? Perhaps you realize that you haven't been faithful in hearing and learning God's word. Perhaps you've been angry with your brother in Christ, or you see your own death coming and you're afraid to face it. This sin and guilt weighs on your heart and conscience still today. But Christ today remains the crucified one. He is risen, alive, never to die again. And as surely as he is alive, his death remains your life. His condemnation on the cross remains the forgiveness of your sins. His resurrection is the continual trumpet which you hear in his precious gospel, that God declares you an unworthy and helpless sinner to be righteous in his sight. And so today, on Easter, during the feast of our Lord's resurrection, on this Lord's Day, and every Sunday, this remains our sermon and our confession. We know nothing but Christ and him crucified. His blood still marks the door of our hearts. Faith continues to point to this blood as death and condemnation continue to pass over us. When I lived in Iowa, I used to meet up with a couple pastors every week, and on my route to one of the churches, I would go past this house with a big cross in the front yard. The cross was empty, which is fine, and instead of Christ's body on the cross, it bore the following words: "He is." Now, the implication is that he is risen. Now, this is a well-meaning attempt to say that Jesus is risen from the dead because he's no longer on the cross. And people will sometimes criticize us Lutherans for having a crucifix, an image of the cross with Jesus' body on it, because they say that Jesus is no longer on the cross because he is risen. Now, while this sentiment is certainly well-meaning, it is very much flawed. Of course, Jesus is no longer on the cross. But this is not the sign of Jesus' resurrection. While it's perfectly fine to have an image of a cross without an image of Jesus' body on it to remind you of what Jesus did, it's not the empty cross that proves Jesus is risen. An empty cross by itself only proves that someone was crucified, died, and then was taken off the cross. Certainly the two other men who were crucified with Jesus were not left on the cross either. No, the empty cross doesn't show that Jesus rose from the dead. Instead, it's the empty tomb that shows us Jesus rose from the dead. When the women came early on Sunday morning to the tomb of Jesus, they expected to see a body, a dead body. The image of his body on the cross was no doubt burned in their minds. They saw their Savior hang on the cross in anguish, being tortured to death. And now they were trying to find some kind of comfort for themselves as they honored the dead body of their teacher. Perhaps they could replace the image of a crucified Christ with the image of a dead Christ who seems to rest peacefully in the tomb. It's a good thing to anoint the dead. It's a good thing to honor the body of those you love But this is not where we find our comfort. We don't find our comfort by how we dress up the corpse or by all the nice things we say about the deceased. Instead, we find our comfort in how he died. Did your loved one die hearing, trusting in, and confessing his Savior? That's what comforts a Christian. So how are we comforted on this Easter morning? It isn't by looking for Jesus' body among the dead. It is being assured that his death indeed did take away our sins. And how do we have this assurance? How do we know that the man hanging in anguish on the cross was reconciling us unworthy sinners back to God? We know this because he is risen. His body is not in the tomb. He is the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has made full satisfaction for our sins to God. We preach Christ crucified. We preach a crucified Christ. When we eat his body and drink his blood, we are confessing his death until he comes. Why can we confess and proclaim this death of Jesus? Why would we confess and proclaim his death? Because he is risen from the dead, and he is coming again to be our judge. We say in the creed, I look to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Where do we look for this resurrection? Not in our own dying bodies, not in our own earthly comforts, or in our own ability to ignore death. These comforts which are here today and gone tomorrow. No, we look to the resurrection in the crucified one who burst from the grave, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and continues to give us life in his gospel and sacraments. When we eat and drink the body and blood of our Lord Jesus here at this altar, we are proclaiming his death. This means that we proclaim all of what Jesus has done, including his resurrection. It says, the hymn goes, Jesus, in thy cross are centered all the marvels of thy grace. Thou, my Savior, once hast entered through thy blood the holy place. Thy sacrifice holy there wrought my redemption. From Satan's dominion I now have exemption. The way is now free to the Father's high throne, where I may approach him in thy name alone. When you take the Lord's Supper at this altar, you are confessing all of the marvels of his grace. Confessing his death is not just confessing that he died. It is confessing what his death has fulfilled and won for us. It is confessing that he, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is the one and only God, the creator of all things, who made us in his image as both male and female. It is confessing that his word recorded in the Bible is true and without any errors, that it is powerful to create faith and keep us in the faith. It is to confess that baptism does save us, that his body and blood are truly given to us in the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of our sins. It is to confess that he was raised from the dead and that he will come again one day to judge the living and the dead. Everything the Bible says is centered in Christ the crucified, the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for us. So when we confess him, the crucified one, we are confessing everything he is, everything he has done, and everything he says. Paul calls the Lord's Supper the festival of purity and truth. Now, a few years ago, I heard some pastor say that Jesus did not die for pure doctrine, but that he died for people. Now, he was trying to say that it was wrong for us to withhold the Lord's Supper from people if they do not hold to the same pure doctrine we hold to. He was accusing those who insist on pure doctrine of not caring about people. And so again, he said, Jesus didn't die for pure doctrine, he died for people. But this is a false dichotomy. It's really silly. Of course Jesus died for people. He died for the sins of all people everywhere. And he died also for pure doctrine. That is to say, he died so that we poor, unworthy sinners would receive from him his pure word and teaching. Because it is in this doctrine of our Lord, in his teaching, where we have the certainty of the forgiveness of our sins, eternal life and salvation. His doctrine is not cold and lifeless. No, this is the living word of the living God who raised his son from the dead. It's his doctrine, and everything he has, he gives to us. He died so that he could give us every assurance from his word that we are his and that he is ours. So if we don't give the Lord's Supper to those who do not agree with us or haven't learned what we teach from God's word, yes, this can seem harsh. It doesn't seem comforting. But what has our Lord taught us? He has taught us to turn to his word of truth. You should know what you are confessing when you partake of this sacrament. And if you don't know, you should know that Jesus wants you to know. He wants you, no matter who you are, to be strengthened in this doctrine because he loves you. You are most welcome at all times to learn what your Savior died and rose to teach you. Jesus wants you to know his word. He wants to strengthen your faith. He wants to keep you in his care and strengthen you by his Holy Spirit. He wants to continue to forgive you of your sins, to be with you in your dying hour, to hide you under the shadow of his wings, and to raise your body to eternal life. This is why he died for you. And as surely as he did not stay dead, but he rose bodily from the grave, so he remains the one who died for you. His word remains the source of life, joy, comfort, confidence at all times. Christ is crucified. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.